Our sermon lesson for this morning comes from our Psalm of the day, Psalm 30. And while we sang part of it, I want to begin by reading the psalm in its entirety to you. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of His. Praise His holy name. For His anger lasts only a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you praise forever. This is the word of our Lord. My dear friends in Christ, you know, it's never really too difficult to be able to tell the difference between joy and sadness. For instance, if you were to walk into a locker room after a big, close game, generally you're going to be able to tell which team won and which team lost. If two people walk past you, one who just received a big promotion in his job and the other who just lost his job, again, you're generally going to be able to tell who is who. And almost always, you're going to be able to tell the difference between a student who's going to class for the very first time of the school year and one who's leaving for summer vacation at the end of the school year. You see, there's a lot of emotions attached with joy and sadness, which in turn makes it pretty easy to tell which is which. But as we look at Psalm 30 this morning, we're going to see how these two polar opposite emotions connect. Now, Psalm 30, like many of the other Psalms, was written by King David. And with this Psalm, like many others that King David wrote, there's just a lot that we can learn as Christians from King David. A lot of these Psalms that he wrote had a specific portion of his life connected to it, a very specific event. And while Psalm 30 doesn't do that, as I read it a bit ago and as we talk about it today, I'm sure some events of David's life maybe come to mind. And so as we go through Psalm 30 this morning, we'll be talking through some of those major events. There was just a valley that stood between the two of them. One set up camp on this hill and the other set up camp on this hill over here. Tensions grew and it felt like war could break at any moment. Yet, one of them wasn't afraid. No, the Philistines had no fear whatsoever of their opponents, the Israelites. And sure, part of that was probably because they had a larger army. Probably because they were more equipped, they were trained, they had more armor and weapons. But ultimately, I think a big part of their lack of fear was because of their fighting champion, Goliath. Goliath stood over 9 feet tall, was covered from head to toe in the best weapons, the best armor that any man could have, and he knew how to fight. There was not one Israelite that dared to take on Goliath. Not one except for David, that is. David pleads and begs to King Saul and the other men around him to give him a chance, to let him try to take on Goliath. And finally, they let him. No, not because they think he has a legitimate chance of winning. Not because they want to root him on and see him take on this giant that's been such a fear for everyone else. No, just to get David out of their hair. They didn't want to put up with him any longer. So put yourself then in David's shoes. What do you do to prepare for the battle of a lifetime? Do you try to take a few crash courses on fighting so you learn the best techniques and methods in hand-to-hand combat? Do you go around to your fellow Israelites asking for their best armor, their best weapons, so that you're well equipped for battle? Do you run away, hide, tremble, questioning yourself of why in the world you got yourself in this fight to begin with? Well, David actually did none of these things. No, David instead called upon the name of the Lord. David knew that by himself, on his own, leaning on his own strength and ability, he had no chance. There was no way by himself that he was going to defeat Goliath, but with God on his side, nothing, absolutely nothing was impossible. And you know how the story ends. The underdog David defeats Goliath. An amazing account in Scripture that we have to look at this morning, and not because of David, but because of God. But let's focus on you here this morning. What troubles do you have this morning? What issues are you dealing with in your life today? I'm willing to bet that not many of us have the issue of a 9-foot-tall Philistine warrior that we have to go fight in the parking lot after today's service. However, we do have troubles, don't we? We do have hardships. We do have battles that we have to face. Kids, is it starting school? Is it having good enough grades so that your parents and your teachers and your friends view you as doing okay, being successful? Is it thinking about the future when people ask you, what are you going to do for a living? Where are you going to go to college? All those questions, do they build up anxiety and stress? Adults, is it that coworker that you would rather just avoid because of how they treat you? Is it the stress of your job security? Is it that inevitable, awkward, and probably heated conversation that you know that you're going to have with that family member or friend about religion? Whatever it is that this life throws at you, what do? If you're like me, you find yourself oftentimes forgetting to rely on God and instead call upon your own name. I so often find myself in challenging times, I call upon the name of Aaron as if that will get me through the difficulties I face. Brothers and sisters, let us take David's words here as an encouragement for us to rely on God. God invites us, He encourages us to call upon His name in all troubles. Troubles big and small. Troubles when you're young or when you're old. No matter what you view this trouble as, no matter what it is or where it is, you can always call upon the name of the Lord. And then we can joyfully and confidently exclaim with David, Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down into the pit. But we're all aware of something very important that goes along with this too, right? The world is not the only source of troubles that we have. No, we ourselves create just as many, if not more, troubles and burdens in our life. I'm talking about our sinful nature and the temptations that it hurls at us. David certainly had to experience that. Saul had been pursuing him for some time now. You see, Saul loved David. He respected David. He knew that David was the only one that could calm him down, that can bring him relief when he was angry, when he was frustrated or stressed with his music. But now Saul had turned on David. He hated him. He wanted to kill him. He would stop at nothing to find him and get rid of him. He was jealous. He knew that God had put His favor on David, and he was afraid of losing his power and his reign as king. So one night in his pursuit, he had to stop for rest, him and his men all around him. So as they lay down, David and Abishai were up above, watching all of this happen, watching as Saul's spear lay right next to his head. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the burden that temptation laid on David's shoulders? The man that you've shown nothing but respect and kindness to, the man that you've looked up to, that you loved, has turned his back on you. You've been on the run constantly, always looking over your shoulder, wondering if he's going to be there. And now you have an opportunity to end it all. It almost seems like God had put this right into your very hands. Even Abishai, your close friend, is nudging you and saying, "Look, David, take your chance now. Don't wait." But David doesn't do that, does he? No, David instead calls upon the name of the Lord. David turns to Abishai and says, "Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be found guiltless?" David knew how much God valued the life of Saul. So instead of relying on his own strength to get himself out of this temptation, he instead turned it over to God. What just an amazing example for you and I to follow today. Because just like David had troubles, and we too have troubles, we too, like David, have temptations, right? Gossip in the workplace or school. Cheating your way through an assignment at work or school. Getting angry at that person that cuts you off, saying some regrettable words. Whatever it is, all these temptations have one thing in common, and that's on our own, we stand absolutely zero chance of defending ourselves against them. But we don't stand alone. No, just like David had to lean upon God in his time of temptation, we too can and are invited to, encouraged to, lay our temptations at our Lord's feet, relying on Him, calling upon the Lord's name. But we don't always do that. We don't always rely on God in our time of temptation. Instead, we oftentimes rely on ourselves. David experienced that too. Think of Bathsheba. That lust built and built and built, which eventually led him to commit adultery and murder. David did not call upon the name of the Lord, but instead upon his own name, which led him from sin to sin to sin. And then comes Nathan. Nathan the prophet comes up to David and says, "You are the man. David, you are the man who committed these horrible sins. David, you are the man who turned your back on God. And David, you are the man who failed to call upon the name of the Lord in your time of trouble." Can you imagine the weight of that guilt that was piling upon David's shoulders as those four words come flowing out of Nathan's mouth? "You are the man." That sin that he thought nobody knew about and ever would was being replayed right in front of him. "You are the man." That sin that he didn't really think much of and really thought it wasn't that big of a deal and that life would just go on smoothly, even though it happened, was now being brought back to his attention. "You are the man." Brothers and sisters, I am that man. You are that man. We all, like David, fall for temptations, traps, and snares. And why? Because we rely on ourselves. When a temptation comes, we say, "That's not that big of a deal. I can handle it." When a temptation comes, we say, "I can beat it on my own." But then we quickly find out that we can't. And when we fall, we have Nathan coming up to us too, telling us that "You are the man. You are the man who committed these sins, who turned your back on God and failed to call upon the name of the Lord." But remember David's response. When David was confronted with the sin, he didn't try to run and hide going the other way. He didn't pity himself or cry. He didn't try to blow it off like it wasn't that big of a deal. No, David called upon the name of the Lord. David turned to God. He confessed his sins to God. He turned to the one and only one who could bring comfort and healing to his hurting soul. We can do the same. God invites us to do the same. He encourages us. God wants us to take all our sins, all those times where we fall short of His will and His command, and we lay it at the foot of the cross, where we have no doubt in our minds that those sins are wiped clean, they're taken away. And then we can joyfully and confidently exclaim with David, "Lord, my God, I called to You for help, and You healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down into the pit." David certainly wrote a number of psalms that had kind of a somber tone to them. A lot of psalms that focus on the sinful life we live in, the sinful world, and how much of a struggle that can be. But if you read those psalms, you notice that all of them always come back to the Lord, to focusing on Him and Him alone. But David also wrote about times of joy, on times when the Lord blessed him with success and blessings beyond what he knew to do with. Just think about David's life. He conquered Goliath, the underdog story. No one expected David to win, and he defeated him. David was anointed as king, not chosen by man, but by God Himself. David's reign as king was a successful one. He was made to be very wealthy, powerful, and well-respected. How easy it would have been for David to let all those things go straight into his prideful and arrogant heart. How easy it would have been for David to build himself up and think, "How good am I that I have all these things before me, that I've done all these things." But you know what? David did do that. And how? Because he called upon the name of the Lord. David writes, "When I felt secure, I said, 'I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed.'" David knew that the only reason, the only way that he's had all these pleasures, all these joys, was because of God. And then David gives thanks. He gives thanks and praise to God for blessing him beyond what he could possibly imagine. What a powerful example for you and me. Because while we have troubles in this life, we most certainly have joys and blessings. And when those joys and blessings come, brothers and sisters, be aware that temptation will soon follow. Satan is so good at whispering in your ear, saying, "Look at that. Look how good you are. Look how all these things that you've accomplished, the things that you've earned." When Satan tries to list off all the different ways and reasons why you're so great, list back to him all the different ways your God is so great. When Satan lists off all the different things that you have, instead list off all the things that God has given you. And when you've done that, thank him. Praise him. Take time every day to say, "Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me." And then let us joyfully and confidently exclaim with David, "You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise your name forever." And now we see it. The connection between joy and sadness is that no matter what joy or what sadness comes, we can always, we're encouraged to, we're invited to by our God Himself to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen.